take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Now, there's two ways we can look at the rest of this meeting. We can either say, let's hurry up and get out of here quick before the lights go out, or let's just stick it out and see how many hours it takes before it stops raining and the storm passes over. Nonantum, we certainly don't want you to go back to Nonantum in this storm. So we'll probably be about 2-3 hours, if that's okay with you. We'll just keep on going. Is that okay with everybody? I'm looking at you. No? Yeah, okay. Well, maybe what we should do right now, though, is just ask the Lord to help and protect camp. Everything's okay, and camp is fortunate that we have a backup generator. If the electricity all around the lake goes out, camp will keep on going. But we want to pray that Brother Tom and Brother Andrew and Brother Tevin and whoever else is trying to get things worked out. Lord, we just commit it all to you. As Sister Joy just said, we don't have to sweat this stuff, small stuff. You got it all taken care of, and you're concerned and know about the things like electricity and storms and everything else, Lord. And we thank you that there's nothing too small to ask of you and nothing too big. So, Lord, we just commit our brothers to you that are working on the problem, and that you'll give them wisdom and grace, and that you'll cover camp and protect camp with your precious blood. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was trying to hold out until later this week in the staff guidebook, which is not only for staff, but there are some on that table as you exit that way and that table as you exit that way. And so if you're a guest and you haven't gotten a staff guide, pick one up. There are readings for every day. And we're on the second week. Here's what it looks like. Second week, and today is Tuesday. Some of you forget time, and that's okay while you're here at camp. Oh, okay. See, some of you just will lose yourselves. Not me. I know what I'm doing all the time. Whatever day we're up to. Today's the second Monday. So if you want to follow along and you want to be current with what the staff are reading and looking at in their morning devotions, tomorrow will be the second Tuesday. And we're almost finished with the book. I think, I haven't looked recently, but I think it's Thursday, that the reading is praise is a weapon. Praise is a weapon. And I was, as I say, thinking maybe we should hold out, try to, but we're not going to hold out anymore. I'd like you to read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 with me. It's a familiar story, very familiar story. But there are things in that story that every one of us can identify with. I don't care if you're younger than the Nonantum boys that are here. I don't know if any. Yes, there are some younger than the Nonantum boys. Riley, you'll understand. This won't be over your head at all. And everyone in Nonantum, you'll identify with this. And the oldest person here in this room, who could that possibly be? She'll be able to identify with it also. And it's a story of Jehoshaphat. And I think most of you are very familiar with it. But I'm not just interested in the end of the story and the big left hook that it ends with. But the things that lead up to it, the beginning of the chapter, and it says at the first verse that the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Munites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. And some men then ran and told Jehoshaphat, he was the king of Judah. Judah was a very small kingdom, and they were not powerful. And these people that came together to team up and to fight against Jehoshaphat and Judah, they was a vast army coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. And it's getting close. It's already in Engedi. And alarmed or fearful, the King James says, verse 3, Elam Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. Now, right there, there's a whole lesson, and we could stop there. We won't. But I'm not afraid of the Amorites or Ammonites or Moab. I'm not afraid of them. I don't even know who they are. I'm not afraid of armies coming to attack me. I'm not concerned about that. Maybe I should be. But I have enough other than that to be afraid of. There are times when I get fearful. These were God's people. God loved these people. They were his peculiar treasure, but they were in a situation now where when Jehoshaphat heard the news, he was afraid. I'm not going to even ask you to raise your hands because everybody in here knows what it means to be afraid. Maybe you were afraid when you heard thunder a few minutes ago. I wasn't, but maybe you were. But maybe you're afraid to go back home where you live. I'm not, but maybe you are. Maybe you're afraid to go to that next doctor's appointment. I don't have one like that, so I'm not, but maybe you're in a situation like that now. Maybe you're afraid of some people, someone. Maybe it's on the job, at work. Maybe you're afraid of going to school come the next semester, August, September, whenever you go back to school. And I could go on, and we can go on, and if we went around the room, we could probably come up with a different reason to fear. Because we all have reasons every now and again. Maybe while you're here at camp, you'll have a reason. And some, you know, the little kids in the cottage, they have a reason to fear sometimes. Things that you're not going to be afraid of. Maybe they're afraid of, well, being away from home for the first time. And for them, it's traumatic. And again, on and on. And some of the things are life-threatening. Some of the things are very, very serious. And Jehoshaphat was in a situation, and it was very, very serious. And nobody could convince him otherwise because there was no other way to look at the situation. And so the Bible says that Jehoshaphat became fearful. I think fear is a normal reaction. It's a human response. You know, you may be a little bit short in some regard if you don't be afraid. I mean, if you're walking across the street and you look up and you see a Mack truck coming at you, I hope you might be afraid. If you're on an airplane and the engines go out, you might be afraid. They're legitimate. Oh, I'm never afraid. Jesus said, I'm afraid. I don't know about you. God bless you if you're never afraid. But there are times when there's fear that kicks in. The thing that we need to learn is what Jehoshaphat teaches us. David put it this way: what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You say, well, what did David have to be afraid of? How about javelins and spears being hurled at his head? That to start with. Being chased out of wherever he was and living in the countryside and in caves. We just read Engedi. That's where the caves were that David spent some time in. Afraid? Well, I don't know. He had a reason to be afraid. But in his fear, what time I am afraid, he owned that he was afraid. But it's those times that we need to put our trust in him. We put our trust in him. Was it everything blends together? I don't even know what day of the week it is. But recently we talked about the conies are a feeble folk. And they're vulnerable. But they put their trust in him and they hide under the rocks, under the shadow of the Almighty. And then those are conscious choices that we make and that we as God's people need to learn to make. And Jehoshaphat, it says that he was alarmed and afraid, but he resolved not to be paralyzed by his fear, not to crawl under his bed because fear, 1 John says, fear has torment. And don't raise your hand, but have you ever been tormented by fear? You just maybe couldn't go out of your house. You couldn't do anything. You were paralyzed by the fears that were surrounding you. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of facing tomorrow. Fear of living for tomorrow. Fears that paralyze people. But Jehoshaphat said, I made a decision at that time. I was really afraid, and I had reason to be afraid, and I was greatly alarmed, but I made a conscious decision. I resolved. That's what that word means. I resolved that I was going to seek God. I'm going to inquire. I'm going to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah, for the people of Judah to come together and to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek the Lord. Now, when you're afraid, where do you seek? Well, if we go run to whatever, wherever we think we can find help from. Some trust in chariots, David said. Some trust in horses. Now, chariots and horses are just armies. The power, the machinery that is behind us, the weaponry that we own. Some put their trust in those weapons. Some put their trust in man. Some put their trust in what man knows and what man can produce. And David said, some do that, but we, not me. David said, I remember the name of the Lord my God. And when I'm afraid, I seek him. I inquire of him. And Jehoshaphat did a wonderful thing. He got everybody around him in the whole community. He got the people of Judah. And he proclaimed in that whole kingdom, in that whole territory that he was king over, we're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be afraid. I'm not going to let you be afraid. We're going to seek the Lord together. We're going to look to the Lord and see what he'll do. Because God is, well, what did Brother Peter tell us yesterday? And what did Brother Peter tell us Monday night? And if you don't remember what Brother Peter told you, what did I try to tell you last night? God is, what is the last thing that he said? I have all power. Where? In heaven. Yeah, I know. You got all power in heaven, so you can do whatever you want in heaven and you reign in heaven. That's not all that he said. What else did he say? I have all power in heaven and on earth. Sister Joy just said, God's got it. The little things, the way that we take, the path that we're on. God's got it all covered. One day at a time, follow his will. What is the will of God for my life today? Just do that and you'll find out what God's will is for you tomorrow. And when it comes to the decision times in your life, you'll know the will of God and you'll hear, we talked about it last week, that still small voice. That still small voice that says, this is the way. This is what you should do. This is how you should proceed. This is the way for the victory to be realized in your life. If Jehoshaphat hadn't inquired of the Lord, if he hadn't learned his lesson that in the time when I am afraid, then it's time for us to seek his will, to look to him. Because, well, let me just read what it is that he says. Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord, and he prays a prayer, and he reminds, I don't think he's reminding the Lord, I think the Lord full well knew all this. I think Jehoshaphat's reminding himself, and it's good to do that. Lord, I remember when they were sick and you healed them. Lord, I remember when there was no way through, but you opened up the door when there was no way. Lord, I remember when there was shortfall, there was no provision, but somehow or other you provided and you took care of it and you answered the prayer miraculously. I remember. And you go retro. You think back of what the Lord has done. You think of what he has done and you walk around David says Zion. You tell about what God has done. You remind yourself and you remind others the goodness of God. And that's what Jehoshaphat does when he begins his prayer. He said, Lord, first of all, you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. All power is yours. All might is in your hand. And nobody could withstand you. I don't care, Jehoshaphat. I don't care. David felt that way too. Remember when he ran down into the valley? Who was down in the valley? You say, what valley? What story are you talking about? Well, the big one that we read about in David's life. Who was he running down in the valley to meet? How tall was Goliath? You sound like you really know. You sure about that? Okay, works for me. How much did you say? Well, it must be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. He was 9'9". You can write that in your notes and go home from Pilgrim Camp and say, I got it. I know how tall Goliath was. And he was around that. That's big. You know anybody 9'9"? Never met anybody quite that tall. How tall was David? 5'10". In the mouth of two or three, every word shall be established. We got a second that motion. Esther says 5'10". Well, he was shorter than Goliath. and he was a boy, and he didn't have any weapons. And he had every reason, I mean every natural reason, if he was normal, he had a reason to be afraid. He had a reason to be afraid because he had no weapons, and Goliath was armored from head to toe, and he's 9'9", and he's a warrior, and I'm a kid, and I know how to take care of sheep, but I never fought a battle in my life. But he runs down into the valley. Why? Because he knew what Jehoshaphat knew. All power belongs to him. And nobody could stand against him. 9'9" is 9 feet nothing. Because my God is so big, he's so strong, and he's so mighty, he's able to defend me, he's able to fight for me. And I know that if God be for, Paul the Apostle said, if God be for us, then who? Who? What? Where? When? How? Nothing. Oh, if God be for us. So you and I can take our fears and the occasion for the fear. And you don't have to hit yourself over the head and fear yourself. Oh, poor me. I'm such a wicked good for... Okay, that's fine. But Lord, I take my fears and my doubts and I run to you. I run to Father. And Father will take care of me. And so, Lord, nobody can stand against you. Did you not drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel, and you gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They've lived in it and they've built in it a sanctuary for your name. And verse 9, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name. We will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us, and you will save us. You know, write that down on an index card. Change the sign. You still got the sign on the coffee pot about bubbling all over? You took the sign down, and you're still there? I don't know if it's there or it's not there. Put a new sign up there. Put this one up there. It's a good motto for you to, if you don't put it on the coffee pot, that's okay too. But Lord, you hear us. You will hear us, and you will save us. Maybe. No maybe. Lord, I have every confidence in you that if we inquire and seek your face, if we seek you, I heard it mentioned here twice, three times. If we seek him, we'll find him. If we seek him with all of our hearts. And all Judah came flying out of their houses, and they assembled together. And here Jehoshaphat is leading them in prayer, a prayer of believing God, because what God has promised and what he has done in the past, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But verse 10. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them, and they did not destroy them. And see now how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I must have said that to the Lord 1,000 times, probably literally. Lord, I have no idea. I have no power. Personally, against that adversary and against the next, I have no power. I have no might. I have no idea how to beat up these people, this enemy. I know, God, that you've given us ground. You've given us ground that you've purchased with your precious blood. We've got promises, exceeding great ones that we talked about last night. But Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to proceed. But Lord, my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. I'm looking to you, Jesus. I'm looking to you for the answer. I'm looking to you for the help. And so as he prayed, as Jehoshaphat prayed, all Judah stood with him, their wives, the children, the little ones. They all stood there before the Lord. And I like this too. I like the whole chapter. Then the Spirit of God came upon, you can read the names. Benaiah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Jezreel, the son of Hananiah, the son of blah, 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 that we don't know. We don't know anything about any of these people. Who in the world are they? Well, we could say it this way. We could say it this way. Here's he's sitting, there's Terry sitting there afraid. You're not afraid, are you? Maybe someone over there, you're afraid. Whoever's afraid. And we don't know what to do, but we're and what are we gonna do, Lord? How is Terry gonna get through this? How am I gonna get through my problem? How are the Nonantum guys gonna get through their situations when they return home? Well, what are we gonna do, Lord? We don't know what to do. And all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Tim. Or Rashawn, or Jasmine, just somebody. You know, the Spirit of the Lord can come upon you. You. I don't know. The Spirit of the Lord can come upon you. There's no edge to pastors or to deacons or Sunday school teachers or God, and often in the Scriptures, the Spirit of God would move and would come upon someone and they would begin to give help to the people of God in the meeting as they were assembled. What are we supposed to do now? What are we going to do? Where are we going to turn? And all of a sudden, and it's happened in camp. It's happened this period in camp. It happens all the time in camp. The preacher comes, he sits down, and he's sitting there saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Somebody was asking me at lunch, you know, how do you prepare this? What do you? I don't know how to do it. I don't know nothing. Brother Hunt said at the end of his ministry, he says, I know less now than I knew when I began. When I started, I knew. Now I don't know nothing. I know that when I get there, I got to look to Jesus because he's the only one that knows what he wants to do. I don't know what he wants. I don't know what he wants to say, but he's got to say it. And the only thing we need to be is in faith that his meeting will be accomplished. His will be accomplished. His name will be glorified. And so ready to be used or not to be used at all. And that includes the preacher. And I've been in meetings when the preacher didn't move, didn't say boo. But others maybe said whatever they said, what God put upon their hearts. But you don't do that because you want to unload. Some people get to meetings, they've already got it all figured out. They're going to unload on whatever, and they're going to tell the latest thing that they heard, or the latest story that they found, or the latest gossip. And they're going to make sure everybody knows, and they're going to, I just read this, this is a neat thing, nobody else knows it, so let me show how smart I am. And did anybody know that Goliath was not? No, no. Did anybody know? Can we share with one another? Save that. Keep that at home. Come with a blank slate, unless the Lord prepares your heart before, and he can do that. But Lord, you come into a meeting and say, Lord, here I am. Have your way. Have your way. I don't know what to do. My eyes are on you. And Lord, it's your time to have your way with us. And I can tell you specifics, and I won't. But I can tell you specifics at camp, this period where God came and used sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, different ones in the meeting, and just a song that was sung, a prayer that was prayed. It gave direction. It opened up what God wanted his people to then do. And here this man, who whoever he was, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattiah, the Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. And here's what the man just began to say. He said, hey, listen, King Jehoshaphat. Well, who are you to tell the preacher what to say? Don't tell the king what the Lord says. The Lord needs to tell the king, because the king is the only one that says anything. He's the only one that knows anything. He's the only one that is able to give directions. No, he's not. Dear Lord, you can speak through a Nonantum boy. No. Yeah. In a big meeting like Watch Rock, you're just visitors. We don't want you to say anything. No, that's not true. God can use anybody in this meeting. God can speak through and give his word through any vessel that's sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared to every good work. And so he begins to tell Jehoshaphat, listen. And all of you who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be discouraged because of this vast army. Because the battle is not yours, but the battle belongs to God. And tomorrow what I want you to do is march against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Not every battle is the same. God didn't work every time the same way. The way that these people won this victory is not always the way that God wins victories. God's not a God of one way, no other way. So if it worked this time, it's going to work every time. There are different ways that God works. Here, this battle, the Lord said, you will not have to fight. Now, there were other battles that Israel had to go fight. They had to go fight and take out their weapons and use them. They had to go to hand-to-hand combat, and they did. This battle, though, the Lord says, you're not going to have to fight. You're just going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because this battle, he'll take care of it for you. But you got to do what he says. But he wants to win the victory, and he doesn't want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you to be discouraged, but he wants you to go take the victory tomorrow in these different places that he said, and take up your positions and stand firm and see that the deliverance that the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Now, before they go out, before they do anything, I think all of you know that the end of the story is they went out singing. But don't think that you can just go out singing and get the victory. There are a lot of stuff in here before you go out singing. The next phrase, the next sentence, I think maybe is really the crux of the matter. Maybe this is more where the victory is won than when the singers went before the group of people. Maybe here's where the battle was really clinched and God's victory was won. It says there that Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped the Lord. Anybody know the Hebrew word? They fell down before him. They bowed before him. I don't know it either. We had it this early in the week. Barak? So I think it's Barak. They just got down before, and they worshiped. Does anybody remember what worship is? Worship was what Abraham and Isaac did in Genesis 22, where you give yourself totally and fully and surrender to the Lord, where you're all on that altar of sacrifice, and all the children of Israel here in Judah, it says they bowed down and they began to worship before the Lord. And then some of the Levites, they worshiped in another way, or they praised in another way. They stood up and they praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. That started with an S, that Hebrew word. Different ways, but all incorporated here in this one story. They began to praise the Lord. They began to glorify God. They didn't just wait until the singers went out ahead of them. This is the whole company of people. It reminded me of earlier in the meeting tonight when we came into his courts with praise. And people just joined in praise and were marching to Zion, beautiful Zion. The hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets. And before we reach that heavenly field, we worship, we glorify, we praise him. And as we praise him, God comes and he manifests himself and he wins victories and he allays fears and he glorifies his name as we glorify and honor him. And that's exactly what the people here are doing. And so they began to worship the Lord, and they bowed down before the Lord, and some of the Levites began to praise the Lord with a loud voice. And early that next morning, they went out to the desert, and as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood before the people, and he said, "Listen, Judah and Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God. Have faith in the prophets, and you'll be successful." And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out at the head of the army, they said, "Give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His mercy endureth forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, they didn't have to go with weapons. They went with song. Praise is a weapon. Blessing and glorifying God wins victories. It won other victories, not just this one for Jehoshaphat. It says, as the singers went out to sing and they gave glory to God, as they began to sing, praise to the Lord. The Lord sent ambushments against the sons of the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Later on, you find that they returned. Jehoshaphat and his armies returned to Judah and Jerusalem joyfully. Oh, I think there's a lesson in here for us. And it's not just at Pilgrim Camp and for Pilgrim Camp, but it's mostly when you're not at Pilgrim Camp. It's mostly when you're facing the adversaries and the foes that you're afraid of. It's mostly when you go back wherever you go back to, and it's when those things happen and those things come your way and they're unexpected, and somebody runs into your living room and says, "Hey, that's and right away you go, "Oh no, what are we? Oh Lord, I seek you. I seek you. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh what needless pain we bear, all because we do not inquire of the Lord and bring everything to him, to God, in prayer." And as we begin to seek him, my God will give direction. You don't go in and tell God directions. "Lord, they're out there, so you need to do, and you need to fight against, and you need to beat them, and I'm going to do this, and Lord, you're going to bless me while I do it." Forget about my plans, all my plans, all my wishes, all my aspirations at my feet in ashes lay. "Lord, what do you want? What do you want to do?" And he'll tell you. He'll tell you. If he doesn't tell you, he'll tell Jezreel, and Jezreel will tell you. If he doesn't tell Jezreel, he'll tell Livy, and Livy will tell Katie, and Katie will tell the rest of the world. And if, not really. God, he has a way of doing this. He gets his word out. He speaks. He speaks. "If any man has an ear to hear, let him hear what he speaks." But he speaks. And he doesn't lead us astray or in a ditch or a wrong path. But we need to escucha. Is that, did I get that right? We need to listen. We need to listen. Oh, Lord. And as Lord spoke, Jehoshaphat listened. And the rest of the story is history. There's victory. There's victory in praise. There's victory in song. There's triumph as we worship him, as the leaders worship him, as the Levites worship him, as Jehoshaphat worships him, as the women worship him, as the little children, because they're all in there. It's not just six guys that led the army into the battle singing. Oh no, it was everybody. It was the whole camp. It was the whole company of people. And as they lifted up their voice to God, and as they got down before God, and as they surrendered it all to God and offered a sacrifice of praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy. I don't know what your enemies are, but Jesus Christ brings victory. Maybe there's a walled city and you don't know how you're going to get in. You don't know how you're going to fight that battle, and you don't know how Jericho's going to come down. And there the Lord told the children of Israel what to do, and it didn't really all have to do with singing, but a lot of it did. A shout. Maybe the same kind of a shout that they shouted here. And they gave a shout to the Lord, and as they gave a shout to the Lord, the walls came tumbling down. Or maybe you're stuck. Oh, I don't know who it was that said there were, was it, oh, Sister Dolores. Bound by fetters, chains, maybe habits. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what you look at on the internet. Nobody knows the way you talk. Nobody knows the way you roll during the rest of the week. They only know what they see when you get to church. But maybe God knows, and there's a fetter, there's a bondage there. And yeah, we can cover it up, and we can try to make believe it's not there. But isn't freedom a better option, Sister Dolores?
Yes, wonderful.
Freedom is a better option than bondage. And we can be free. I can be free. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us and makes us free. And this one thing I know, and that man that story comes from is John chapter 9. And the man, he was blind, but the Lord healed him and opened his eyes. And then when we called him in, they said, "Who made you better? Who helped you to see?" And I love his answer. He said, "I don't know who he was. I don't know who he was, but all I know is this. The only thing, I was blind and I met him, and now I'm not blind anymore. I can't tell you where he was from. I don't know who he is. But I tell you one thing. This one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Those fetters that I once had, they're not there anymore. And not the only way, but certainly one of the ways that Jesus Christ gives to us in the Word of God and teaches us is to praise the Lord. Why? Use the words that he uses here. Lord, your mercy endures forever. I give thanks to you, Lord, because your mercy endures forever. Because you're able to save to the uttermost. You're able to break the fetters and the chains. You're able to get me out of jail like Paul and Silas were stuck in jail. And nobody could get them out. They were incarcerated. They were in bondage. But as they began to sing, as they began to sing praise to God at midnight of all times, why, the Lord sent an earthquake, shook that cell, opened up those prison doors, the shackles fell off. God can free people through song. It's a mighty weapon. It's not carnal, but it's mighty through God. It's not just the lyrics. It's not just the volume. It's not just the harmonies. It's a song that he puts into your soul, into your heart. And as you sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, it's a spiritual song. It's a spiritual sacrifice of mercy and love to our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we sing our song, he comes. And perhaps, just perhaps tonight, the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy. Maybe the Lord has already delivered and freed you. Maybe the Lord has already come and given you the victory and the help that you are in need of. Maybe it will be tomorrow. Maybe it will be next week or next month. But don't forget, inquire of the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And praise him. Praise him. So many testimonies at camp. So many that I've read over my days of my life. So many that I've experienced in my own life. Of finding that praise works. Praise indeed still to this very day. God answers praise. So Lord, we thank you for Jehoshaphat. Thank you that he teaches us some lessons about song and singing. And Lord, here we sit a lot of years later. Jehoshaphat's long ago gone. So's Jehaziel and these other characters that we've read about. But Lord, we're here. And you're the same. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Jehoshaphat and David. The God of Paul, the apostle, still the same. You haven't changed. Your hand has all its ancient skill. Nor have your ways changed. You haven't updated and kept up with the times. You haven't changed the way you work and show yourself strong and mighty. Still the same. You wrote about it years ago in this book called the Bible. And if we would be able to get a hold of these truths and implement them in our lives yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. And Lord, we pray tonight. If there are any in this meeting, somehow, way, shape, or form, are fearful. Fearful because we've tried and we've hoped and we've wished, but it hasn't happened. We're afraid that it might never. We're afraid and fear has gripped us. Lord, we thank you tonight. No more need fear. No more need doubting. No more need any of these besetting sins or pride control in my life. But Lord, we can be free. We can take the life of victory. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you will set the captives free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Not to be entangled again, but free. Lord, maybe there are staff members. Maybe we're not free. You know. I don't know. I don't know what these guys and young women, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're experiencing in their personal lives. But you do, Lord. And Jesus, I know, as Sister Dolores said, it's wonderful to be free. And Lord, if you can teach us how, if you can show us the way, we know it's all through the blood. It's land that you purchased. It's victories that you have given to your people. But Lord, how do we get them? How do we implement them? What do we do? Well, praise. Praise. And we pray, Lord, that you will teach us these ways. All of the adults, the guests that are here, the Nonantum boys, every one of us, show us your ways, teach us your paths, lead us in your truth, and teach us. Thou art the God of our salvation, and on thee do we wait all the day. Put a song in our mouth. Lord, even praise to our God. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us to sing and rejoice evermore. In your precious name we ask it. Amen.